Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You are tuning in to Shell's 3 Cents, and I am your host, Michelle Murray. So in the news, it seems like my hometown of El Paso, Texas, we just keep seeing story after story lately about COVID because it's causing all of the hospitals to be filled up to capacity, you know, beyond capacity. We're seeing people even treated in medical center parking lots because there's just so many cases of it. But it seems Los Angeles is faring no better, folks. You know, Los Angeles County is actually facing a dire moment in this pandemic, okay? There has been a 63.6% increase in COVID cases over the last 2 weeks. So we have to take this stuff seriously, folks. It's not a hoax. It's not a joke. I'm glad if you haven't been impacted, but it's serious. We're getting out of control with it. So yesterday's figures, the county of Los Angeles reported the highest single-day count of new coronavirus cases so far. Just yesterday, the health department reported 5,000 new cases, 5,000. I'm going to say that again, 5,000 cases, okay? And so that's an unprecedented climb in the spread of this disease, okay? And it's putting L.A. County on a path to even more stringent disease control measures. And one of those is going to be that stay-at-home order that we're seeing returning. So starting tomorrow, we are going to have another stay-at-home order in Los Angeles County. And that's because that's a swift move to curb the spread, obviously, of COVID-19's recent surge, you know, and not just in L.A. County. We want to curb it throughout the state of California. So starting tomorrow, folks, there will be a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew. There's actually a few counties, Los Angeles, of course, that's where you all are impacted. But and so that affects Orange County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, and Ventura counties. And we're going to see that going for 2 weeks. So till December 3rd, we can expect to be impacted with that curfew. So please wash your hands, wear your mask, and just be socially aware. Just be socially conscious, you know, and have basic courtesy, and we can help put this thing in check. So, and also in the news, we've got a few more days of these record-breaking warm temps in Los Angeles, the lower 90s. I'm loving it. I know all of the beach bums that are listening are also loving it. So enjoy the sun, but do it cautiously, okay? It doesn't mean pack the beach. It doesn't mean, you know, break curfew or do any of these other things. Please be responsible as you go out. So I know many of you are so curious about the topic I posted for today. And I think it's something that we collectively need to talk about because it's really starting to get a little bit out of hand, some of the vitriolic nature of conversations I see anymore. There's no reason, you know, guys and girls, that we can't be grown-ups and still respect the opinions of others. You know, something we joke about, we tease about, we hear people talk about Trump derangement syndrome, right? We say that Democrats or liberals, they go insane when they hear the president's name and, you know, and it's almost like a mental illness. Well, I've got news for you folks. Sometimes some of our conservative brothers and sisters are doing something similar. They're doing something similar. Rather than listening to understand or listening for facts, across the board, people are just getting just egregiously emotional is the best way that I can describe it. It's ridiculous. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and we were saying how social media has altered the landscape as far as being able to tolerate the opinions of others, because think about it, this new generation that we've raised, okay, they're digital natives. They've always had some sort of social media. Their go-to response is block and delete, block and delete. You don't think like me, you don't agree with me, block and delete, okay? And it's spilling over into some of the older generations, or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe we've taught that younger generation to block and delete. But is that really the right thing to do? Is that what we want to do as a cohesive nation? You know, what does that say to the world about America, who was, you know, once the preeminent superpower, and we're slipping. We're going down, you know, down a few pegs there. What does that say that we can't even, we're so free that we can't tolerate differences of opinions? You know, it's a sad state, and I'll tell you, it's not pretty. I've been combing through the French papers, the English papers, and the German papers and several others. Honestly, we've made ourselves a laughing stock because we have so much freedom that we can't stand differences of opinion anymore. You know, and interestingly, the same friend that I was talking to, she and I were talking about how people we have been real life friends with, even before the internet, we're real life friends with, but now if you don't think like them, if you don't talk and walk just like them, block and delete. You know, matter of fact, just yesterday, a real life friend of mine, a command sergeant major from the United States Army that I served with and have been friends with for many, many years, known him more than 20 years, asked me about who did I vote for. And when he discovered I did not vote for the same exact people he did, block and delete. And frankly, I could care less if anybody wants to delete me on social media, but it goes beyond that. Because this individual sits on boards of directors. He sits in positions of influence. So what it tells me is that because he can't tolerate a differing opinion from his, you know, how is he going to act on these boards he sits on? How is he going to act when he's in these leadership positions? Is he going to discriminate against people who don't think and act like him? Is he going to treat them fairly? One of the boards he sits on is in our local county courts, within the Veterans Court. We have a board that functions to assist and advise down at the county courthouse, and it makes me wonder, will he not fairly interact with people who think differently from him? And it breaks my heart because we've lost our way. We have lost our way as a society when we cannot sit down and have a discussion, when we can't have dialogue, when we can't have discourse. Some of my best friends are like super far to the left. Some of my best good friends are, you know, on the right. I'm pretty much in the middle, but I definitely identify as conservative. But we can all respect each other's opinions, and we listen. And sometimes we learn something, sometimes we teach something. We don't name call, we don't, you know, block and delete, but we're articulate in our own beliefs, and we'll use it as a teaching moment. If somebody disagrees, we don't just say, well, you stupid MF, blah, blah, beep, beep, beep. No. We can explain ourselves. But it's pretty scary to live in a world where people are so inarticulate that they have to name call, block and delete. That will be the end of our society as we know it if we can't do better. If we can't do better, that will absolutely, unequivocally be the end of our society as we know it, and that should scare you. That should scare everybody who's listening. So that brings me to my guest today, Javi Simons. He's currently attending Full Sail University, and he's pursuing a music business degree. But let me tell you, his resume, his personality is just so impressive and so amazing and so fun. So he's worked in the touring industry for over 5 years. Before that, he was a local promoter, booking shows and events around the city of Austin. That's where he lives. And he's just always had a passion, just like me, for all things entertainment and music since he was young. You know, and one of the things, he's grateful. He has an attitude of gratitude, as I say it, and I think that's what allows him to interact so freely with people of other perspectives. So, Javi, are you there?
Hey, Michelle. I am right here. Thank you so much for that intro. I feel so great. That's wonderful. I appreciate it so much.
No, no, just speaking the truth, just speaking the truth. You know, Javi and I say, like, we debate, we spar a lot, but, like, it's cool because I know sometimes I learn things from him, and I would hope that every once in a while he learns a thing or two from me. But, Javi, what do you think about that? What do you think? Because there's some things we do want to talk about, like perceptions on the current political landscape and all that, and we'll get into that in a minute. But what do you think about our society? Do you? I think we've lost our way. What do you think as far as being able to dialogue and just deal in facts and not emotion?
Well, first of all, I have learned a lot from you. So let's get that out in the open. You have been a wealth of knowledge for me, and I appreciate you so much. So thank you for all the knowledge you have shared with me. As far as the topic, what you just brought up, here's where I see society going. And, you know, everybody's very much involved in the political landscape, and whether as a Democrat, or leftist or liberal, you like it or not, we owe that a lot to President Trump because he's very polarizing. That either you love him or you hate him, but there's very little in between. And people have gotten involved in ways that they had never gotten involved before, and it comes from a place, it's an emotional involvement. It very rarely it's a rational involvement. And when you get involved so passionately, whether it's in politics, the job, or your family, the rationality of the matter kind of tends to go out the window, and we don't really think of our actions and think of what we say, and we immediately seek refuge in people who have the same ideas as us that can comfort us. And I don't want to overextend the conversation, but I do think that cancel culture is dangerous. It shouldn't be. It's not something that we need to embrace. And a friend of mine recently we were talking about his family, and he goes, "Well, my aunt is a Trump supporter, and she was out in the open on Facebook calling me out because I voted for Biden." And I said, "Well, why don't you just delete her?" And he brought something that brought a lot of light to me, and I never thought of it this way. He said, "Why would I delete her? Because if I delete her, then Facebook is going to keep feeding me the people that have the same thoughts that I do, and I'm not going to be able to think rationally of other people's point of view." And that was eye-opening to me, because when you block and delete, you immediately are telling the program and the algorithm that you don't want to see this, so you're only going to get fed what you want to hear.
Yeah.
If you feed a kid burger and fries every day, he's never going to eat veggies and grow up to be healthy. So we need to have that raw vegetable every once in a while to feed us. So it's very important to be rational rather than emotional. And I do agree with what you said. You know, there has to be a point where we need to understand that a lot of that we cannot get emotional over what needs to be rational.
Yeah, and that, you know, and I do agree with that. But that's interesting what you said, how some people get involved because of the emotions behind it. And see, I'm the opposite. And if anybody's, you know, wants to chime in on the chat or call in and let us hear from you, I'd love to hear other perspectives on this. For me, I am extremely involved. I've worked on various political campaigns, you know, starting with George Bush, like lots of political campaigns. And it's always been for rational reasons because, you know, okay, this is going to affect my pocketbook this way. This is going to affect, you know, the price of gas that way. You know, like I've always been highly rational about it. And I'd probably have to ask him. I teach my son to be pretty rational about it. But that's interesting that you say that, because, see, that helps me and probably other people understand how some people come to get involved. And maybe that explains part. Like maybe if we took into consideration that people are involved because of the emotion, maybe that could even change the conversation. You know, instead of the expectation being, well, you should deal in facts, maybe we need to step back and say, oh, okay, I understand you got involved in this because of emotion, so let me rethink how I was just about to approach you. You know, maybe that is the answer. You know, I'm wondering, like, do schools still have debate teams and do that? Like, when I was in school, junior high and high school, I was on the debate team, and I was on the academic decathlon, and I love that. In college, I was on the debate team, and I actually have a Facebook group
Oh my God, yeah.
for debate, you know, Association for Debate and Discourse. But do they still do that? Because I feel like it's a lost art because so many people don't know how to have a conversation without name calling. Like, they don't know how to explain the point. Like,
well,
I don't know. Do they still?
As of right now in the university, we work in teams where there's no debate. And here's another thing that has come up in the last few years, Michelle, it needs to be addressed. The generation that's growing up was a generation that was overprotected. The parents read all the baby books and they proofed everything and they're so overprotected.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't see this, you can't see blood on TV, you can't see all this. So it's like the human body. When you're not exposed to diseases, you don't create the immunity. And I think that because of the way that this newer generation is being raised, and I was right on the cusp of that, thank God I wasn't, there's a lack of tolerance for difference of opinions, and I'm thinking maybe debate is seen as an instigator of violence, so I wouldn't be surprised if that thing has been removed. But it really, yeah, well, I don't know for a fact. If anybody's in high school
or college, it
could be taken as, well, they're instigating this and some sort of, well, we were in the debate team, but a student felt bullied, so we have to stop, you know. And everything gets blown out of proportion. The word bullism or trigger or offensive, it just gets thrown around left and right. And it gets thrown around without meaning. Just because you don't feel right with it doesn't necessarily mean you are offended. You're just uncomfortable. And it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Right.
It's okay to be offended. You know,
exactly.
This is part of growing up. You have to fall. You have to scrape your knee.
And I do agree with that. I absolutely 1,000%. Anything that makes people uncomfortable anymore, now all of a sudden it's seen as you're bullying them, you're discriminating against them, or you're going to trigger them. Like, I noticed, you know, my son has 2 degrees from Full Sail, but he's now at another school working on a different degree. And Full Sail is pretty apolitical. You don't get slammed with any kind of politics at Full Sail, unless that's your thing. If that's your thing, you can go find it. But, you know, nobody's preaching about that in the classroom. And where my son is now, it's a very, very liberal school. But it's also, and mind you, I said liberal. I didn't say Democratic. I didn't say Republican. It's very liberal in thought. It's very progressive in thought. And the underlining thing in their orientation is that, well, if it might possibly make somebody get out of their comfort zone, then we can't say that. We can't do that. You know, and I personally have a tough time with that. But, you know, I tell them just go to school, get the degree, and, you know, whatever. You don't have to participate in that. But we're training our society to be that way. You know, it used to be a time where if a tough topic came up or you and I have a difference of opinion, well, let's sit down and talk about it, as you and I actually do in real life. But most people,
all the time,
they don't do that anymore. Yeah, and I enjoy that too because it opens your eyes. You know, it opens your eyes. No matter, like, I might have a perspective because I come from a military background or because I'm a woman or whatever, but then you give me your perspective, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't think about that. And we can learn something from each other. But when you just shut the conversation down, you know, you push away the validity of everybody's side. Everything becomes a joke.
Yeah.
Because, for example, let's take this voter.
I am
a deputized, registered, or voters registrar, okay? I've been doing it for years, and I can tell you that there is fraud. There is absolutely 1,000% there is fraud that occurs. People get arrested for it. People go to prison for it. We just had a congressional or senatorial member from the state of, I believe it was Pennsylvania, about 2 years ago went to prison for it. It happens. They register dead people. Like, it literally, it happens. But now, I'm
going to
have you chime in a second. Yeah, it happens.
Sorry.
But then, because we've become so intolerant of other opinions and we just devalue other people because it's all about me, looking out for number one, Like, let's go back to the election of 2016 first, okay? There were some Democrats that were like, no, I don't accept the results. There's fraud. Let's count it. So now we've got the election of 2020. Now the shoe's on the other foot. The Republicans are saying, no, there's fraud. I don't accept the results of the election. But the hysteria from the Democrats in 2016, the hysteria from the conservatives, let's just be real here, in 2020, what it's really done is moved us away from the actual conversation that could take place. Because just like you said, mm-hmm. yeah, I know there is voter fraud. I know there is. But all this name-calling, all of this, these outrageous demands that are made, and honestly, the same thing that's playing out now played out in 2016. It just, the shoe switched foot. And I'll be honest, on many levels, it's ridiculous to me. It's childish in nature. And I think we're losing sight of base rationale. Everybody, you know, they're all operating on emotion. But, like, what do you think of that? Because my thought is, yeah, I'm sure there is some voter fraud. But this stuff about I'm not going to work with the next administration and I demand every state have a recount, like, I don't agree with that, but because I think it's detrimental to the fabric of our country, no matter if Democrats do it or Republicans do it. But I don't know. Talk to me. What do you think?
I think we found some common ground, like Jimmy Carter would say, we can build from this. I think we both agree that there needs to be some sort of common sense and national, you know, consensus that we need to do what's best for the country. As far as the voter fraud situation, granted, there has been cases of voter fraud here and there. I don't think that there has ever been a significant case of voter fraud to where there's thousands of hundreds of thousands of voters that can really change the outcome of an election. And realistically, that has never happened. You know, pretty much the cases have been very few, far between, and have been pretty much assessed. And as far as the 2016 situation, it was unfortunate, I think, and this is my opinion, this is where our difference of opinion will come in, and this is the beauty of mm-hmm. this, because Michelle has different opinions.
Yeah, because
so
we're just
going to
talk about it.
Yeah, I feel, and this is my opinion, no, not anybody else's, The reason Donald Trump and the Republicans won the White House in 2016 was because nobody in their right mind thought that he was going to get elected. People took it for granted, and they were like, I'm not going to register to vote. There's no way this guy's going to get elected. And he gets elected, you know? So we go through the 4 years of
this.
We
actually agree on that. We actually agree on that. Yeah.
So the Democrats piss and moan that they were robbed. But the Obama administration realizes that he needs to move the country forward. So he welcomes the Trump, the president-elect into the White House, gives him the briefings, and the process needs to continue. We are the United States of America. We are the birthplace of democracy, and we need to continue. Now, 2020 presents a different scenario because now the person that lost by wider margins than they won in 2016 is not able to comprehend the concept of losing the election, and he's not only compromising the party that he represents, but he's compromising the country in the eyes of the world. Granted, he has every legal right to question the election, to investigate. He can file all the lawsuits he has, you know, he wants. I am not saying that I don't want to take away anybody's legal right. Mitch McConnell said the president is within his right to do this, and that is correct. If you read the law, he can do this. However, the only thing in my mind that he's doing is delaying the inevitable. And in the meantime, the country's suffering. We need to get the country going. There's a pandemic going on where people are starving to death. People are losing homes. So it's a time to reprogram and say, hey, are we in this because we're Republicans, or are we in this because we're Trumpists? And is it a personal cause? Is it a national cause, you know? So it's two different scenarios.
Or should we even be in this? Or should we even be involved in this? Should we not turn our attention to the pandemic or something else? And both sides are guilty here. Because, yeah, listen, I am conservative, and people know that, but I'm also all about the right thing and being rational. You know, I look at Nancy Pelosi takes great pride in never wanting to work with President Trump. But on the flip side, there's people who mm-hmm. take great pride in never wanting to work with her. It's not okay just because your party is doing it. It's not okay. And to the sets of eyes around the world that are watching us, you know, we're airing all of our dirty laundry for everybody
mm-hmm.
to see.
Yes.
You know, for everybody to see. I've even kept up with, you know, some of the Asian papers, and we're like a laughing stock over all of this.
Yeah. I just came back from international travel, and we're kind of a joke. I don't want to continue talking to the president, but Trump has really made us look bad. And as far as Speaker Pelosi, I respect some of the stuff she has done. I think her heart is in the right place, but I think that some of her actions have equaled the actions of the president. I think she has leveled herself to that,
yeah.
and that is really not what we need to do. But overall, we need to focus on the pandemic. El Paso, where you live is outrageous.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of business
yeah.
out there, and we had a conversation about something personal that happened to somebody we know out there. And
mm-hmm.
meantime, we're spending millions of dollars going to court for an election that, guys, the thing is set. You know, you're delaying the inevitable. We need to move on. How can we help the people that are suffering from this disease? That's what
mm-hmm.
we need to focus
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah, and I agree, because, again, I mentioned the fact of being, you know, a deputized voter registrar. Part of that, you know, you do get training in the process, how things work. You see how things are stored, et cetera, et cetera. And I would have to agree with you that the level of voter fraud that has been alleged, I really don't agree with it. That happens. I'm not sure how. I do believe that, I don't think it was right that we got three states that said, well, you can vote up to 10 days after the election. Now, that's a form of fraud. However, we didn't do anything about it before they implemented the rule. So, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think we're entitled to say anything about it. I don't like it. But being that nobody who had the power to stop it before it happened did anything, well, if they want to vote 10 days after the election and then they have another 10 days to collect the votes, you know, that's something somebody should have done something about. And since they didn't, I don't think we should be fighting about that, because just like you, I feel like we have other things to worry about, you know, and it just, we've got a lot of other things. I also think that the leaders of our political parties, believe it or not, I think also in a sense between them and the media, they encourage this divisive bickering, and we're too stupid to see it.
Oh, yeah.
They encourage that name-calling, that demeaning of the other party. We got to stop that.
Yeah.
We have to stop it. I wish more people would sit down like you and I do. I look forward to our chats, because it's like, oh, okay, like, I know he has a different perspective. Let me hear about that. I have another friend, Elena. She's wonderful. You know, she and I actually started that debate group and discourse together because we were so tired of seeing everybody name call and just really, really act up. So, oh, my gosh, we've been on air for half an hour. So that is, I'm getting the cue that we've got a minute left. But what else do you want to say about
time?
Can you believe it? It's been a half hour?
Time flies when you're having fun. No,
you know what?
You know,
I'm going to have to bring
I
you
really...
back for a one-hour show. Yeah, I'm going to bring you back for a one-hour slot. But, you know, because I want to dig a little deeper into this. Yeah, I definitely want to dig deeper. But I think we've given people something to think about. You know, just because things can exist or things might be, it doesn't mean we have to be divided and kill each other. Because we are, just like you said,
exactly.
the United States of America. The United States of America. Differences of opinion are okay, but we have to get back to learning how to respect one another and be rational. Bahavi, thank you so much for coming on air to chat, and I'm absolutely going to schedule you
for
1 hour because we have to continue this. All right, thank you so much,
Bahavi.
You have a good one.
You too, Michelle Baker. Thank you for having me.
Look, work hard and play hard. Play hard. And you will succeed.
Pays off in the long run, and if you work hard, you can get the job done. Overcome and achieve in the long run. Wait till you next up, you don't come.
I'm on the beach, and my memory cool, life living. like it's a blessing to be. To see how many friends I've grown and have surrounded me. That's cause I'm doing something not, and I'm glad to be. Living the rich life really is about to see. Young man with a dream, which I really see. Looking forward to the money, not just for a piece. I know it's hard when your baby out on the street. With these breaking rules, but that's really not the least. It's just he's growing up while most he's trying to come up. What you need to know is helping you get rich and come up. See what's up. I have a plan for you both. Just look up and hold up. Check it. It's all worth life living, understanding and forgiving. Going to church every day and I stand it. Why mama on the knees, son now selling weed. But a plan is all you need for y'all to succeed.
Our work pays off in the long run. And if you work hard, you can get the job done. Overcoming